final seconds. Oubre pick in Larry's pocket. And it will be a fitting end here in game four. The Wizards survived. Bradley Beal fouling out late. And they have evened this best of seven at two games apiece.
Intensity picked up once shots started going down. The defense got better, turned the entire game around.
Sportsfeld story time. We are taking you back once again to a bad time because we were thinking it's been too good. You've had too much fun getting your TFC, making the crowd go crazy. We are back to the 2018 Toronto Raptors. It is Raptors Cavaliers is the road we are going down. The series that was so bad, it changed the course of Raptors history for the better. It turns out last episode, we talked about this Raptors team that really was just incredible. The best Raptors regular season we had ever seen. And I think to this day, still had ever seen. Unfortunately, they didn't get the chance to defend and see how many games they would win because they were 53-19 in 2019-20. But 59-23, a 720 winning percentage, number one in the Eastern Conference. Really an incredible team to sort of refresh you. You had rookie OG Anunoby, you had DeMar and Kyle as all-stars, Serge Ibaka, Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, Siakam, Anunoby, Van Vliet, and Miles, all averaging 20 points a game. The bench went 11 deep when you add in Poeltl and Powell. You have only 12 guys to pick from, and 11 of them are playing 20 minutes a night. You do not see that very often, but it was a ton of expectation after a couple of years of finally finding their footing back. They had the 2014 team that defied the ability to tank and made the playoffs. It was then two first round losses, an Eastern Conference Finals loss to the Cavs that we talked about in a previous episode of Sportsfeld Storytime. And the year before, they could not climb the mountain because they lost to the Cavs. So this year, everything looks right. They have a 1-8 matchup, and it is the Washington Wizards. And listen, 8 seeds in the Eastern Conference, traditionally, not much to worry about. It was 43-39, the Wizards. They had Bradley Beal, really, as their top player. He played all 82 games, averaged 22 points. John Wall only played half the season, but he was a 19-point game guy. Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre, Markieff Morris, Marcin Gortat, Thomas Satoransky, not nearly as deep, obviously. You don't get 11 deep, but also Mike Scott, who would always sort of pop up in Raptors lore. At this point, Jake, were you still worried about first round losses?
Oh, yeah. This had everything primed for like Raptordom. This was, as we talked about last week, this was huge expectations, a one seed. This is the bench mob. This is going to be the year. And then it's the hated Washington Wizards. There's a bit of a rivalry.
Yep.
Going with the Wizards at this time. In the first round, everything was primed for, if not a first round exit, at least a game one loss.
It is worth mentioning in those previous series that I had mentioned, the one where they defied expectations, they pushed Brooklyn to seven in the first round. The next year, when they were expected to be good and won 49 games and finished first in the division, it was a 4-game sweep at the hands of the Wizards that got people start. Basically, I think this is where the Kyle and DeMar are terrible playoff guys started, is that 4-game sweep against Washington. So there was, as you said, rivalry on the line. Sick of hearing about John Wall, sick of hearing about Markieff Morris, sick of Mike Scott more than anybody, Kelly Oubre as well. And the Raptors, I think we come into these things trained to expect them to lose game one, but they actually win game one, 114-106.
I was at the game one of the 2015 series, the sweep by the Wizards. That's the Gravis Vasquez shot and then the overtime loss. And as someone who was at that game, with all the expectations, with the fact they were down so big and required the big comeback to force overtime, I will say, watching this game one against the Washington Wizards, of course, on a Saturday afternoon, because I don't even know it was a Saturday, but it was a afternoon game because game one. Being up only 1 point going into the fourth quarter was everything I was prepared for as a Raptors fan this year. You just knew it was coming. You knew John Wall was going to be tough. You knew Bradley Beal was going to be tough. As you said, Mike Scott. But it was just, I think this series and this game, even though it did go six, and there are definitely some tense moments, which we'll get into in a second, I think as much as you can criticize the idea of going 11 deep in the playoffs and that not working, against this, well, really as against any team in the East that year that didn't have LeBron James, just too many weapons from the Raptors for this to really be that, in retrospect at least, that big a deal.
Some weird lineup stuff here. Bebe plays 5 minutes in this game, which is hard to believe. that's how it goes. And to talk about how quickly things change, Fred VanVleet inactive for this game. So
that's crazy. To your point of sort of the narrative, you know, Kyle plays 38 minutes and only scores 11 points. He has 9 assists, of course, but 5 fouls. And let's just say the narratives were strong after this one.
Yeah, you get 17 from DeMar in 35 minutes on 35% shooting. But Serge Ibaka is sort of your big hero in this game. 23 and 12. DeLon Wright gives you 18. So, yeah, if you are one of those narrative people, DeLon Wright outscores both of your all-stars. It was you were not escaping the Raptors jokes online just because they won game one against the 8 seed. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think game two was really what we needed to see, which was a mammoth first quarter. They outscored the Wizards 44-27. In the first quarter and kind of just cruise for the rest of the game. This was, I remember watching this game and being like, okay, that's what a number one seed does.
Yes.
At home in game two, you take care of business, you punch him in the mouth, you put him on the ropes. And I also remember this game was big. I was top of my soapbox after this one as the DeMar DeRozan playoff narrative is dead. How yes. wrong I would be in about a week and a half. But DeMar put up 37 in 37 minutes in this game on 60% shooting from the field. And I remember this one being like, there it is. That's DeMar. He's the guy we've been backing. This is the year. We're doing it. 2-0 series lead. Fuck the Wizards. This is the time.
6 rebounds, Jack. He's got a 40% three-point shooter. DeRozan makes the three, and he's fouled in the act of shooting. DeRozan from North Bay will head to the line.
And for all the talk of the depth in this game, it was all the starters, right? DeMar plus 23, Kyle plus 27, Serge plus 32. They really had no answer for Serge. Plus 27 from Jonas. The bench actually full of minuses is somehow Bebe minus 19 in 5 minutes. That seems impossible.
I'll blame that. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you were absolutely right in that. It was this is what a top seed does. Unfortunately, in game three, it was, this is what happens to the Raptors when they get even an ounce of positive press, is they drop game three, 103-122, 28 each from Beal and Wall. And, you know, listen, it's no surprise. They didn't have wing defenders, basically, until they got Kawhi and OG out there. The wing defense was something we talked about year in, year out, is they have backcourt scoring, but who stops Bradley Beal? Who stops John Wall? And the answer to this game was basically nobody.
Yeah. And I remember not being too phased by game three because it was 2-0, you know, at home, lose game three. It happens. Game four, however, was about as Raptors as you're going to get. They went away from the depth a little bit, only played 9 guys, which was very unusual for this Raptors team.
Who says Dwayne doesn't make adjustments?
DeMar with 35 again. Kyle with 19 and just nothing from anybody else. 7 from Serge, 4 from OG, 11 from Jonas. But more so than those stats, this was, you know, Raptors have a chance to put a team on the ropes for really the first time ever. The only time they'd been out of the first round other than the 2016 season, which took 7 games against Indiana. There'd never been an easy Raptors playoff series in franchise history. This was the chance. They're up 11 at halftime in this one.
And tied going into the fourth.
And lose by 8. This was the, oh, it's 2016 all over again against Indiana feeling.
Yeah, and just enough positivity to make you feel absolutely sick to your stomach that it was slipping away. And this is, you know, that prime of like, you know, I think before basically the Kawhi run is you would have people afraid to get on the Raptors bandwagon. And these were the reasons why is as soon as it looked good, suddenly the bottom falls out. And, you know, looking back on this, and I think basically from the moment he arrived to the moment he departs, I think in time, and maybe it started a little bit when he left, but I think in time we are going to grow to really appreciate Serge Ibaka in like when he plays well in these series, they win. And when he doesn't, they have to really scratch and claw.
Yeah, I don't think it's not a coincidence that when Serge turned it around from game 7 against Philly the next year onwards, they won the title.
Yeah.
Like he was a guy who caught a lot of flack, especially because of games like exactly the next one we're about to talk about, with game 5 victory where the Raptors won, but Serge scored 3 points and got 2 rebounds in 22 minutes, which from your starting 4 is not what you want, and was a -5. And he would just have those games until suddenly he didn't ever, which was pretty amazing to see. But this was that frustrating kind of Raptors series, as you say, where like even when they were in control, they were never in control. Game 5, they had to wait to the fourth quarter to pull away. It was a really tight game. You never really thought they were going to lose this series, but you also weren't confident they were necessarily going to win it either, which is kind of how the year before in the first round against Milwaukee felt. And it just like that was just sort of how it went. It was nothing easy, as Zaza Pachulia once said. it was just what it was. And these games and these teams were always like that until really that Orlando series in 2018, in 2019, and I guess you could count the Orlando series in the bubble as well, are the only two like calm series in Raptors history. It's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. You're so right.
They either lost or they went 6 or 7 games and was just a nightmare.
I even remember in the bubble how once they won game 1, it was like, oh my God, are they finally going to easily beat a team?
The funniest thing is in a lot of ways, the NBA finals that the Raptors won is like the 3rd easiest series in Raptors history.
That shouldn't be true.
And like that wasn't an easy series, but you just compare it to everything else.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that was all right.
And they close it out. Here's the lucky part is I know back at the time, I was pretty sure this was going 7. It just seemed like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How can it not go 7 was like the only we've seen one of those old lines you put perfectly during the Euro. It's like, I've seen this movie before sort of thing. They go into the fourth quarter down by 5. They're down 78-73 going into the fourth. And it's like, oh, my God, are they really going to make them play game 7 again as the 1 seed? They're going to have to win game 7 at home against the fucking 8 seed. Is that what's going to happen? But they come out and they only give up 14 points in the fourth quarter.
This was a hard one to watch because this was one of those, I believe Leafs game 7 against Boston they blew was the same night.
How did we survive this?
It's crazy. And I remember it was like watching both at the same time and you just wanted one of them to not be like tight.
Yes.
And then the Raptors went on this crazy fourth quarter run and it was both like, okay, great. They're going to win the series, but also now we can change our focus, mm-hmm. which was nice. But this was a great Kyle game, 60% from the field, 24 points. And of course, this one lives on in forever Raptors lore with, despite being up 10 and the series being over, DeLon Wright blocks Kelly Oubre.
Weren't the number 1 seed in the East for nothing. They were a very good team all year long. As the Wizards finish up their season, going out in the first round, in 6 games, 4 games to 2.
You love it because Kelly Oubre was a villain at this time.
DeLon Wright, who had scored 4 points in 24 minutes that game, still took the time to block Kelly Oubre at the buzzer, which I always appreciated.
Nothing easy. And that sets the stage. I mean, there was only one thing, and the idea that I think we tried to do our best to get across here, and I hope we did, was, you know, beating Washington really didn't feel like anything, truthfully. And it was a sign, a positive sign, really, of where the team was, that, like, finishing first in the East really didn't mean all that much. I mean, it did, but it wasn't, like, mission accomplished. And beating Washington wasn't mission accomplished. It was squarely in the sights of the guy that had eliminated them the previous 2 years. It was, and people forget this, I think, with what has happened since, is that, like, beating LeBron was really the only thing that we thought about anymore. It was like nothing else mattered. And again,
this is the third straight year.
It represented a positive thing for the franchise, where it was like, and this is how they ended up making the big move, where it was like, are you one of those teams that is like, well, we didn't ever get past LeBron and we couldn't take that next step? Or are you looking to continue every year to build and build and build? And it was building, and they built all of this, the 11 deep, the Serge Ibaka, having OG, it was all in service taking down LeBron and what would become LeBronto shortly after this. It is Raptors, Cavs. It all starts May 1st, 2018, and we will talk about that next week on Sports Full Storytime.